You hear a lot of coaches or people saying, move your hips or lower your hips or drop your weight. Or you hear all this talk around your weight, your center of gravity, you know, throw your weight this way, throw your hips this way, stand, open up your hips. You know what I mean? Get under your hips, put your shoulders over your hips. You hear all this stuff, right? And I remember for me as a kid, there was some confusion around what do they mean by hips? When they say my butt, like I could put my butt out there, but then it's bad form. I feel weird in my back or something. So, you know, are they saying throw my hip out to the side? I'm doing a hokey pokey. Like, I don't get it. You know, what do they mean by weight? What do they mean by hips or this or that or anything like that? You know, center of gravity took a while to make sense in my mind. You know, and I was like, oh, I get it. I'm short. I have a lower center of gravity, not because my weight, my center is in the center of my torso. No, it's because it's closer to the freaking ground. And my legs are the lever from the ground that I use to throw my weight around. And it started to, you know what I mean? Once I got that, things like your power comes from your feet. In baseball, they tell you when you're swinging, the power comes from your feet. Even in football, they tell you to wind your hips a certain way so you can, you know, if you watch football players warm up, some of them, quarterbacks will do this hip rotation. And they just practice that hip rotation because that's the start of the throw. That's where the power's at. But it didn't make sense to me until I understood where my center was, right? Where my weight was, right? And then everything came. It was easier to understand. I could take tips a lot better. Put your weight like this. Okay, you're going to want it so your hips did it. And I was like, fucking makes sense. I get it now. And that stuff, when you start clearing out the mess in your mind, right? It activated different neurons. That stuff easily translates to quantum realm, to the stuff you feel but don't see, but you feel it, you know, inside you. Mm-hmm. Because that center, you don't want any weight in there. Weight's like the dissonance, you know? And you want to be able to throw that around with compassion and stuff, you know what I mean? So when you have perfect form in sports, even the most amazing feats seem effortless. You know, athletes will tell you that chucking a football so far down the field is like nothing to them. It's effortless. You know, but they're doing a lot of the little tiny things right to get all little tiny things. You know, and the same thing in quantum. It even the most amazing feats of peace and compassion, where we're like, dude, I would have lost my shit and fucking told that guy something. You know. If you do all the little things, right, you just clear it up. The form is right, the technique's right, all of that's right. It is effortless, you know what I mean? But you gotta get the technique right. You gotta get the form right, you know? My issue right now is that, I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm very careful about who I learn from, is that everybody's got this way of explaining it, which is okay.
Because explaining everyone, what?
Of how to navigate everything I just said,
uh-huh.
Right? Which is okay, because everyone is like, everyone's their own person. They're going to have their own point of view, their own delivery, their own everything. I get it, right? But I would be much happier if we stuck to just what it was, you know? And this, I'm talking about me. Like, I would never, like, when it comes to other people and communicating, I get that I need to package the message in a way that suits their system. I get that, you know, and I want to say it and do it and do all those things right so that it's delivered in the way that I mean for it to be delivered.
So that they can feel safe.
Exactly. I want to do that. Like that, I get that. I do. Mm-hmm. So when I say all these things, I'm not saying it out of like complaint. I'm not complaining about having to do that. I'm just talking about when I sit in my peace and I'm in a room with my silence, I communicate with myself with out all that extra stuff. And it's not all, and if I were to put like a microphone in there and you would hear some of the conversations I have, some of the stuff wouldn't sound very favorable, you know? But saying whether it sounds good or bad is putting a filter on it that shouldn't be there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
observing all thoughts non-judgmentally,
yeah.
Objectively.
And I've gone through so many different versions of that in my life. Like, growing up, for like 14, it was, you don't got time to complain. You know, you never hear, in my mind it was, you never hear adults complain about this stuff, so you're not going to complain about it, because you got to be an adult right now. You know, and that was my thing. So I was used to feeling certain ways and not saying anything, thinking certain things.
Not saying anything.
You know, and just like, all right, this is what people do, it's fucking, let's go.
It's horrible.
You know? And then I got to, and then, you know, years went by, time went by. I got married, right? And it was the same thing, but it was like a marked version of that. It was like, well, this is what you don't do, this is what you do. And then I went through my, after that marriage, I was like, dude, forget the world, I'm gonna do me. Whoever's left after I'm doing me is fucking left after I'm doing me, right? And then I became what I thought was happy at the time. And even during all of that, it was like, I'm gonna feel and think certain way, but it's what it is, you know what I mean? You don't really express it anyway. You just feel it and plow through.
Ew.
You know? And things were a little better because I wasn't as angry, right? But I was just, I wasn't angry, but I replaced anger with drugs. So I still wasn't doing very good for myself. And then, you know, I get into a relationship that I think is my woke one. I'm like, all right, I'm making a choice to be in here. We're going to do this and it's going to be awesome. But I took like 3 different versions of not expressing myself into that relationship, right? And then in that relationship, I started healing. I was like, hey, I found it. I'm getting better. Look at me changing my ways and stuff, you know? And then I couldn't communicate how, because I didn't know how to communicate what I was feeling deep down inside, I was so used to thinking and believing that a lot of people think and feel this way, and nobody fucking says it. So that's what life is. You know, life is just suppressing everything you really think and feel. Right? And so, and because at this time, I hadn't healed my mother or father wound, so I was only living up to the limits that I had seen them live to.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until later, I think it was Barry, I want to say it was Barry, he said in conversation,
Barry Selby,
he said, he didn't say this, he mentioned it, but the quote is from someone else.
Uh-huh.
You have to live, for some men that come from a life like I came from, you have to live like your father's dead, like your father's not there, like you don't have that example, because if you do, you always live up to just that, you know. And I had reached a point in that relationship where I'm being honest with you here. Like, I don't tell this people and stuff, okay? I know, but I'm talking to you right now, okay? That's all. One thing that does motivate me, and one thing that drives me, but I do my best not to make it as extra as I do a lot of other things, because I know it's a dirty goal, right? Is being like Issy, being like my father. I want to be like him, not in relationship, not as a person, and any of that. I don't want to be that, you know? So whenever I hear a song that kind of puts that in front of me, I'm like, whoa, okay, cool, like, holy shit. Or, whenever I start being in a way that I, you know, whenever I'm being introspective and I see something that's like, fuck, I'm describing him, you know? That's usually, you ask, like, what does it take? Like, what's really the fire? Like, that. Like, if I see something and I start feeling that I'm being him in some way, we gotta freaking change it. But it's the good energy. It's not like, oh, angry, like I gotta run from it. It's like, no, if I am gonna change it, I gotta be very careful how I do, because I don't wanna trip and fall and come back here type of thing. You know what I mean? It's that peace, that kind of, that same energy I described went into my magic, where I had to like numb the pain and I had to be in a better place so it could be what it was. And there was no ego, right? It's that.
But instead of numbing it, you now recognize it and have sort of like understood it to the point where you can merge it with the new you. Is that what you're saying? Because just a little while ago, you said when you're doing the magic and you kind of get into that center.
I said I'm very careful about not making it extra. Because it's, you know me, I make a lot of extra. Like, I make everything bigger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said that I'm very careful about not doing that with this. because I don't want it to be a dirty goal. So I'm careful to take my time.
Mm-hmm.
With when I'm using this as motivation, you know? So that's one thing that could really, like, that's why with Evan, I call and I text and I try to change it up for him, you know? I try to, like, launch his own phone, we try to talk, and I do my best to ask a bunch of questions about him. Like, I'm curious about you, because I would visit EC, I would talk to him, but he never asked me about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, and I was a, being a kid, I didn't know what to ask him about. I was like, oh, hey, Dad.
Right.
So you're the authority figure in my life that I call Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't teach me how to shave. You didn't teach, like, none of, you know what I mean? So I try to tell him, I try to drop a little knowledge on him, while at the same time not seem like I'm forcing the father role on him, you know, because I have EC in mind. Like, what didn't he do? And what did he do that I didn't like, you know? And so one of the things that I'm, everything about that relationship with Evan is off of it. That's why I don't get hurt when he doesn't call me for Father's Day, or, you know, he didn't answer the phone this time, or he didn't respond to a text. I know I'm doing a hell of a lot more and have done a lot more for him in his life than EC did for me in mine. You know, so I'm not, I don't get, he'll come around when he does, you know?
Yeah, he's a teenager right now too, so yeah. It's like, but at the, you know, you having that mindset is healthy,
yeah,
for both of you guys.
And I think one of the things that I don't think I realize now talking to you and about this, that one of the things that keeps me from going beyond that 2 or 3 week threshold you mentioned where everything's good and then I have a little pop, we'll call it a pop, right? Have a pop is, I don't want to be like him. And sometimes with where I'm at and where you're taking us and how you want me to be and how I want to be for you, the submission to that and all of that can sometimes feel, the submission to that and everything that comes with that can sometimes feel, make me feel like easy when he doesn't, when he was just submissive to his wife and his life and the way it was, blah, 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 blah. And there's that little, that part of me that doesn't want that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I start fighting that internally, because consciously I know why we're here. It's like, well, I'm showing up for Jane, like, you know? She's making me better, she wants me to be a better man for her. Okay, I'll be a better man for her. Like, let's do this, you know? But because internally I have that mindset of not being like EC and submitting to some of the things that I need to submit to in the relationship make me feel that way, creates internal conflict. And I'm like, well, I want to be better, but right now I feel like I'm being exactly like that guy. I can be submissive. I just got to shut up and listen. I can't express my, like, you know, and I don't want to be like that guy. So that part comes out, and, oh! You know, and it's like the whole identity thing. When I say, when you're out working on the level of identity, it could, you gotta be careful, you know? And talking to you now, I realize that that's one of the bigger hurdles. It's not the habits, not the dark showers, not any of that stuff. It's the fact that I don't want to be like him, you know?
And the resistance to it actually is causing it to flare up in you.
Yeah, to show up in this, in not good ways, you know? In bad ways. So that's what it is, I think. I think that's really what it is. That underlying motivation I used to have. Not used to have, that I'm used to having.
Or used to using, yeah, used to having, used to using.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're seeing how it's causing a hiccup.
Yeah, and that's
a recurring hiccup. It's like you got to the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really started wondering, I'm like, is this beyond a mother wound, but what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like you've done so much work on it, and it was coming up to the same degree. And maybe it was because it's not that we were putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable, it was just time to move the emphasis.
There's a metaphor I like to use where, imagine your mind, right? Your subconscious, like that back room or your junk drawer.
Yeah, right? Your junk drawer.
And your conscious mind you don't have a switch in there. There's no light in there. Your conscious mind is your flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like we were focused over. There was a bunch of crap in that room. We were so focused on the mom. You know what I mean? We just
needed to healing all the mom stuff. And now you realize, oh my God, me not wanting to be my dad and then connecting to those moments he was submissive, like in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
The destruction that that brought to him in the relationship.
Yeah, the relationship, him as a man, a person, from what I see.
Yeah.
You know, from the outside looking at it, could be very different for him.
But whatever it was, you got some sort of story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like... when the mistrust of the feminine comes into play, something's up, and it's like, what is it exactly?
I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah, I was starting to get a little bit, like, concerned that we weren't going to get to the seed of it.
I was getting scared, that's for sure. That's not easy for me to say.
Well, it's all about being honest, about being transparent, about being real. It's the only way to do love. Otherwise, there's no real intimacy.